Psalm chapter 1. All right, this is, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to give you a little recap. Psalm 1, I think that this is sermon 5, maybe it's sermon 6, I can't remember. And so we have said a lot over the last few weeks in Psalm 1. You ought to go back. If you have not heard every message, you ought to go back and listen to the ones that you missed. I promise. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll with great messages. I feel it. This one has been good and life-giving, and I trust that you will go back and listen to what you've missed, because this is God's word we're talking about, and this is important. So, Psalm 1, I'm going to read, and then you can follow along with me, and then we'll do just a quick review. Psalm 1, how blessed, remember, abundant blessing, blessings in the plural, in the original language, blessings, just abundant blessings. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked, they're not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away, and therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord, he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is my favorite psalm. Psalm 1 is again, it's the beginning, it's the primer, the remember the New England primer? That's not correct, it's a primer. You know that, educator. It's not a primer, it's a primer. The New England primer. This is like the psalm primer. This is the beginning. This is the psalm that launches us into the Psalms, and it's been said it's the preface of all the Psalms, and it's a study in contrast between two kinds of people and the results of two kinds of people. There are people that are blessed, the righteous and the unrighteous. Two types of people, a contrast. Here's how it is that you're blessed. Because who here among us this morning wants to be blessed? I absolutely want to be blessed. How are you blessed? Well, there's some negatives. Three negatives, and they were easy, right? How blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So it's about the kind of people that we're about. I'm not going to re-preach that message, but we preached a message on these three different kinds, totally different kind of people. But we're building on this theme. In fact, we spent 2 weeks on this, building on a theme. The wicked, the person that's against God, don't. How blessed is a man that doesn't walk. Don't be associated, even in your walking, even in your way of life, even though you're not really connected. It's a process, because you walk and then you get comfortable, and you stand. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel, nor stand in the path of sinners. Now you're standing. And then in the path of sinners, then you're sitting in the seat of the scoffers. So do you see the progression of the, listen, it's a progression. Nobody just decides to jump into bad company. You associate very loosely, and then you stand, you get comfortable, and then you sit. Now you're part of their company of people that are against God. And so of all the blessings in Psalms, it's important to note that the very first thing the psalmist says is not verse 2, which is a good verse, and we're going to talk about it. But the first thing is, don't be around bad people. That's sort of, this is 101 step. Don't be around people. So, well, why is that? Well, that's why for me, being in church, being a part of a godly family is important. We want to be associated with iron that sharpens iron. We want to be associated with people that love Jesus, that are walking in the same direction that we're walking, so that the relationships that we have and the things that we find in common aren't trivial, horizontal things. How many friendships do people have because of such trivial things? So I really like this guy. He's our, I'm not opposed to this, but I've met people. What do you guys have in common? Well, we go bowling together. We go bowling together. There's nothing wrong with bowling, but certainly there have got to be more important things that would be reasons why you would associate with people than something as trivial and horizontal and fleeting as bowling or crochet. It just popped in my head, crochet. I don't even know what crochet is. I don't know what that is. Something as trivial as that? I have no idea. You fill in the blank. So what I want is relationships. What I want is relationships that revolve around Jesus. Everybody there? Psalm 1:1. So those are the negatives. Don't do these three negatives. Then there are two positives, two things that we absolutely must do. So I bless the man that does not walk, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight, this is active. Don't do this. Avoid this. Definitely do this. Do this. Not avoid. Do. Now we're actively doing something. What do we want to do? We want to delight. We talked about delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. Delight. Delight. When was the last time you delighted in something? So I love this thing. I delight in it, whatever it is. Delight, delight. I delight in the law of the Lord. We talked about this. So I just want to emphasize again right now. What are we talking about? It's a deep, just a, well, it's what, I hate to do it. I absolutely hate to do it. I don't hate to do it. You're right. You don't want to lie for a pastor, but this newlywed couple here, that you can see it in their sick eyes, they delight in one another, and they're all googly-eyed still with one another. That's delight, tremendous delight, tremendous delight. It's such a beautiful thing. You should never lose the delight that you have for one another. You will, though, but you should not. You should not lose it. Delight, oh, it's such a beautiful thing. It's sickening to watch them. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you guys. What that's delight. It's the thing that just you want to be. Do you understand what I mean? Delight, by the way. That's a delight. You want to delight in God's word, in the law. The law. Who wants to delight in laws? On God's law you do. On God's law you do. Delight in it. And so delight in the law of the Lord and his law. And in his law. So second thing is meditate. 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 Remember, we looked at this word meditate. Meditate in Isaiah. In Isaiah is remember the verse. It's a lion growling over his prey. The word growl is meditate. Same word. What is to meditate? It's what my dog does. It's what he will do because I cooked a picnic ham. That's you know, and it's got the bone in it. You know what I'm talking about? So I pulled that out this morning, and perfectly cooked smoked meat. I pulled that bone out, and today when I go home, I will give Oliver, my dog, this bone, and Oliver will be meditating on this bone. Oliver will be consumed in and growling over it, and it will be a full body, full experience for my dog. He's going to be immersed in and just immersed, growling over. And when we come close to it, and the kids in particular, they're going to come up close to Oliver, and Oliver will growl. Do you know why? Because he doesn't want anything to do with my kids. He wants everything to do with his bone. Do you know what that is? It's meditating. It's meditating. How few of us have a discipline of meditating in that picture on God's Word. It is, though, not reading God's Word, meditating. It's not reading, meditating on God's Word, delighting in. Not reading. Reading's a good discipline. Studying's a good discipline, but meditating. Meditating. I'm a full butt. My mouth, the dog's tongue and saliva and teeth and emotion and his eyes, everything, all full body, his stomach, everything on this bone. All of our being wrapped up in God's Word. Blessing. Blessing comes from that. So three negatives, two positives, and verse 3, this is the result. The result, he will be, this is what we did last week, he will be like a tree firmly planted. You don't plant yourself. This is the work of God. God plants you like a tree by streams of water, not parched, not like Jeremiah. We talked about the contrast in Jeremiah with a barren bush in the middle of a wilderness. Not that. That is, many Christians maybe are like that. What God is promising is a tree, vibrant tree planted by rivers of water. And what happens? We'd be like a tree planted by which yields. What happens when that happens? You bear fruit. You bear fruit. Listen, there is nobody in this room that is a healthy, blessed Christian that isn't producing fruit. Nobody in this room that is a healthy Christian is here and dead. You're producing fruit. Yield this fruit in its season. You're going to yield fruit. Not all the time. It's seasonal. God's in charge of that. But you're going to produce fruit. Let's ask yourself, how often are you producing fruit of a spiritual nature? Its leaf does not wither. You're going to see life. And in whatever he does. He prospers. Now, my last comment, and then we're going to get into new material. And whatever he does, he prospers. If you weren't here last week and you haven't heard, so this, of course, is commonly used passage for what? For a prosperity sort of a teaching that would say, hey, listen, if you honor God, God wants you to have, you fill in the blank, the Mercedes, the Lexus, the good health, and right, because whatever you do, you prosper, right? And it's in God's Word. Hold up. Let's hit the brakes for a minute. Listen. Pop quiz. Because the analogy is about a tree. It's about a tree. Well, how do trees prosper? They don't prosper in everything. The trees prosper, and the way that you see trees prospering is that leaves don't wither and they produce fruit. He's just saying what he's already said. A healthy tree is prosperous when he's producing fruit. If you're not producing fruit, you are not healthy. It doesn't matter how good a source you have and what the river looks like around you and how deep your roots go. Okay, that really doesn't mean anything about your health. It's again like the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee, healthy, things live in it, right? It's got inlets and it's also got an outlet called the Jordan River. And so healthy because it's got water coming in and water going out and there's a flow about it. The Dead Sea, in contrast, has a lot coming in. It's dead. You know why? No outlet. If you want to be a healthy Christian, there's no getting into God's Word and meditating on God's Word. Why do we want to do that? So we can produce fruit, so that as we get As we get, we give. As we get, we give. And so trees are similar, and we should be similar. We're not producing fruit so that we can look at the fruit that we have and say, hey, look how great my fruit is. We're doing it for the best. Fruit exists to feed others. Trees make fruit to produce, to give others. This is not a science rocket or rocket science. This is simple. We produce fruit to give to others, or you're not healthy, or you're not prospering. So then you have to figure out why. Why am I not prospering? If you're doing the steps, you're going to produce fruit. Okay, everybody with me? That was the longest review, but it was a good one. Is everybody ready now? New material. Everybody's like, why that long review? We want to eat. Now here's what, notice verse 4 now. Okay, new. The wicked are what's the next word? Not. The wicked are not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is so good. The wicked in the original language, there's a very strong negative here, and it's found in priority at the beginning of this sentence. More accurately translated, but awkward in English. Not so are the wicked. Not so are the wicked. Not, in fact, in the original language, it's a double negative. No, it's something maybe like this. No, not so. When we make sure that we understand how strong what we're saying. No, not so. So here's the thing. Everything that we've read up until this point, none of what we've read up to this point applies to the wicked. None of it applies to the wicked. Everything that we've just read about the blessing of God and how that happens, everything that we've just read, none of that applies to wicked people, to people that aren't following God. And so this is obviously now becomes a warning on those, even potentially in this room, that are in the category of wicked. Not following God, not honoring God, no desire to be in the law of the Lord, just somebody that's against God. Okay, no blessings coming to you. No blessings coming to you. This is a contrast. This is how one is blessed, righteous, how one is not blessed, the wicked. And you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed. Young people, understand. You want to be blessed. You want to have a good life. You want to have the kind of life that God that is honoring to God, and that is whole and complete. That you want to avoid the kind of mess ups that wicked people stumble upon. But your life's not going to be perfect in Jesus, but it's blessed, yes. But no blessing to those that aren't found in Jesus. But none of what applies to the righteous apply to the wicked. No, not so are the wicked. Not so are the wicked. But, so what are the wicked? Here's what you get. Here's what you get. In contrast to a tree planted by living water, in contrast to that, the wicked is like chaff which the wind drives away. So chaff is the husk of the germ of wheat that is basically inedible, yucky fiber. It basically is fiber yuckiness. Is that part of the whole grain? Is that when they say whole grain? No. So it's the outside still of that. Okay. So nobody eats husk in any... It's useless, right? Husk is useless. Husk has no purpose whatsoever but to protect that thing initially. But then it's not useful to us in any way. So what a winnower does, the person who winnows the wheat will take that wheat and throw it in the air, agitate the husk, the chaff, off the wheat and throw it in the air. And then in the air, the wind picks up the chaff, the useless chaff, and just drives it away. And what is left is the useful wheat. What is the wicked like? The wicked is like the chaff. And I think that's an important analogy of what the wicked are like. It's useless. And in the same way that Paul talks about that the wicked are just blown about, right, by every little thing. Okay, that the no roots whatsoever, nothing planted by, nothing in contrast to a tree that is healthy, that is planted, not going anywhere. The chaff is just blown away. Just wherever the chaff goes, that's where it's going to go. Useless, no grounding into anything, just always on the move about doing whatever the wind wants it to do, and basically going to nowhere fast. That's the chaff. Now, just as an analogy and as a contrast, I don't think that sounds entirely appetizing and interesting. I think the contrast is tree. I want to be a tree, life-giving, not chaff, wind-driven away, just wherever life takes me, but ultimately useless and purposeless. That's the chaff which the wind drives away. And here's the thing. There's a season. Listen, this is important. Young people, listen. You're here. You might as well listen. And adults, you're here. You may as well listen. God's word's saying something to us. The chaff, will be among wheat inevitably at some point. There is chaff, no doubt, if statistics are true, in the room. Wicked. And it may be comfortable, and you may think that you're God, Jesus talks about that the delivery of the word, the message, is a primary tool thing that the message is supposed to do, is to divide wheat and tares. Divide wheat and chaff. What's that mean? That the message, God's word, will ultimately, if it's done right, what you should be able to walk away. If you're lost, if you're not a believer, you should not walk away thinking, I feel pretty good about myself today. You should not walk away from, you should walk away saying, hold on, there's something not right. Because God's word divides wheat and chaff. Well, the great winnower, the God of the universe, will sort this all out one day. Everybody in this room that is chaff will one day be separated in a way that you will not want. But this is a warning. This is a warning. Because it's a terrible picture of what happens to people that don't want to honor God. You're going to be like the chaff which the wind drives away. And notice, therefore, because that's true, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment. I want to talk about contrast. There's a contrast here in the blessed and the righteous and the unrighteous. The right first word in the original language in this passage. First word, blessed. Blessed. Last word in the original language, perish. Perish. This psalm has in the first and last words a contrast in the kind of judgment and or blessing that comes upon people depending on whether they're righteous or unrighteous. You're either going, everybody listen, and this is the great thing about God's Word. God's Word, this is important. This is important. Everybody listening, this is important. God's Word does never gives you 50 options. It's always only two. Always only two. If when you honor God, there's blessing, and if you don't honor God, there isn't. There's cursing. There's only two, and it's said different ways. In this case, it's blessed or perish. Prosper, perish. Everybody getting that? There's never 50. You don't get 50 options. Everybody in this room is either going to be blessed or going to perish. There aren't 50 options. That is a man-made idea. There aren't 50 options. God hasn't confused it that way. God has made it very simple. There are two options. Either you are righteous, in which case you're going to be blessed, or you're unrighteous, in which case you're going to perish. That's not difficult to understand. It's a blessing that God makes it simple. It's a blessing that this is easy to understand. Blessed or cursed? Blessed or cursed? Everybody following that? This is easy. You don't get 50 options. You're going to have option C one day. You're going to stand before God and get option C. There's no option C. There's no option C. This is the strongest message of the series, but it's important that we understand the stakes because now the stakes are clear. It says blessing or perish. Blessing or perish. Prosper, perish. Righteous, unrighteous. And the stakes, God's word says, makes these stakes very clear where we talk about it in these terms. Life or death. Is that a clear enough contrast for anybody? Is there middle ground there? Is there sort of option three? Well, I don't like either option, God. I'm uncomfortable with a God that's sort of just giving me life and death options. Okay. I object, God, that's the options. Please come up with option C. There's no option C. There's no option C. There's always two. Blessed, curse, prosper, perish, life, death. There's two options. It's a figment of our culture. You know what one of the options is? One of the stupid options that our world comes up with is, yeah, hold on, but there may be an option three for those people that are like sincere. If you are sincere, this is the sincerity of it. If you're sincere, then God will surely God will make a way for sincere people. You know, the person that didn't believe in Jesus, but they were sincere in what they believed. Hold on. It's two options. There's perish, bless. There's life, death. There's this option that God's Word talks about really clearly. But Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will cling to one, right? Okay, there's Jesus or everything else. There's Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus or here's another one. Jesus talks about Jesus says there's a path which leads to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. But there's another option. A straight and narrow is the path which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Okay, there aren't five options, there aren't 20 options, there aren't three. There are two. Two options. And this verse is interesting, verse 5, because it addresses this sort of finality of an idea about options. It's a finality. Therefore, the wicked, people that don't love God, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. What in the world does that mean? I tell you, I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to explain it. What does that mean? That means this. There's going to be a day when everybody, I'm just, Lord, I just want to pray right now, in my spirit here, that the Holy Spirit will help this to sink in. Everybody's hearing. On Judgment Day, we're going to eat barbecue in a little while, and I don't want to be a downer, but this is the verse where we have to tackle it. On Judgment Day, everybody's going to stand in judgment. The wicked are going to stand in judgment. They're going to stand in judgment. Here's the wicked will not stand in judgment. Their arguments are not going to stand. Their arguments are not going to stand. Their mentality, they're not going to get up. They're not going to stand up before God and make a case. If you're lost, if you're not in Jesus, you're not going to stand up one day and say, "Yeah, but God, but you don't understand. But you don't understand." Listen, you're not going to be saying anything. You're not going to be saying anything. You're not going to dare. You're not going to dare speak in front of the God of the universe, and your logic is not going to stand before a holy and righteous God. It's not going to work. It will not stand. You will get the judgment that you deserve, and there's not going to be an argument. You're not going to get to outsmart God and plead your case. None of that will stand. None of it will stand. You will stand before God, and God will say His thing, and you will take it. And I'm speaking now to those that are as prideful today. If there's someone in the, I hope that there's nobody in this room that this is true of. I hope not. But if you're a person that said, I don't need God today. I don't need God. I don't need to be found in God. Well, I'll deal with that later. Listen, there may not be a later. But one thing's for sure. When you stand before God, there's no arguing about your case. God's not interested. Okay, God's not interested in your opinion. God's not interested in what you think about it. Do you know why? Because God doesn't take counsel from anybody but Himself. God takes His own counsel. And He doesn't need your opinion. God is self-existing quite apart from us and what we think. God doesn't rule in a democracy. God doesn't want your vote. God's judgment is true. And one day, everybody in this room gets to stand before God. You'll either be righteous or not righteous. And if you're not righteous, please understand, you're not going to be able to make a final case. There will be no standing in the judgment. That's a somber message. It is. That's a somber message. It's not easy to deliver a message like, but here's the thing. This message doesn't have to be at all. You can be blessed. That's the good news. That's the good news. There's no good news unless there's really bad news. The bad news is there's trouble awaiting you if you're not in Jesus. But the good news is that you can be blessed. And so this doesn't really matter. It's just a formality that we have to talk about the bad to get to the good. The good news is that in Jesus, we can be blessed. And I think this is striking and interesting. Interesting. Therefore, the wicked won't stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This is interesting for me, because as we talked about week one and week two, the wicked don't want anything to do with the righteous at all. They mock the righteous. They want to stay away from the righteous. They you know, does that make sense? I mean, the wicked don't want anything to do with us. Here's the thing. But one day they will. They're going to be clamoring to be where we are. They're not going to get the opportunity. They're just simply not going to be in the assembly of the righteous. Wherever we are forever, ungodly, unrighteous people will not be there. So they live their whole life. They live their whole life against God. They live their whole life living the way they wanted to live. The wicked live their whole life mocking God, thinking that we're stupid because we feel that there's a greater authority than ourselves, right? I mean, that's the world, right? The world doesn't want anything to do with us. One day they will. One day when we are in the presence of God, they will wish that they were with us, but they won't be. It won't be an option anymore. The wicked will not stand, and the sinner will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. And that's the saddest part of this whole verse, is what they were clamoring to be opposed to and against for their whole life. Now, for eternity, they wish they were there, but they can't. It's finality. It is the end. This is life and death. This is life and death. So even children of God today, I want my cake and eat it too, right? I want to live like the wicked, but I want the benefit of being like Jesus. This doesn't work that way. I want the benefit of Christian life, blessing, but I also want to kind of play with the world a little bit. And be, no man can serve two masters. There's a finality about the choices that we make. And again, no option. Listen, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Your whole life. Yeah, but it's going to cost me so much. There's so many things I want to do. Follow Jesus. You want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. You don't want judgment. And there are plenty of Christians in this room right now that need to hear this message. Follow Jesus. Not in the world some of the time and not of the world some of the time. Follow Jesus. That's where the blessing is. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked will perish. That word, for the Lord knows is in some translations it says for the Lord sees the way of observes. The way of the righteous. What's that mean? Well, when you live a righteous kind of life, God sees you. God is active about it. God is active. God sees you. God is aware. God is helping you. He's helping you. He sees. He watches. Some translation, he watches the righteous. Don't ever think God's not aware. God's not looking. God sees. God's with you. God's with you. I said this morning in Sunday school, I said it this morning in Sunday school, or Adult Bible Fellowship, doing a Growing in Jesus part of a series. And I said something that I've said here before. In the morning, I often do as a habit, and often and on my best days, when I remember, before I wake up, before I open my eyes, I remind myself immediately, a reminder, a conscious reminder, God is here. I say that, God is here. Our Father which art in heaven, in the heavens, right? God is here. God is here. God is in this room with me. I just remind myself that there's a reality that's bigger than the life I'm about to see play out around me. And that is the presence of the living God in His kingdom around me all the time. And I just need to be reminded of that. God is here. He's aware. He's here. He's with me. God sees the way of the righteous. He's watching. But, man, but the way of the sinner, wicked, will perish. What a horrible way to end that. What a horrible way. What a downer. See, it's not a downer because for me, when I read that, but the way of the wicked will perish, I'm immediately just sort of, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to perish. I'm not perishing. Because God has been good to me, and by God's grace, not because anything because of me, but by God's grace, I am in Jesus. By God's grace, there's blessing over me. And I'm not wicked, so by God's grace, I'm not perishing. That's good news. That's good news. Thank you, God. I am not going to perish. There is perish. What's the opposite of perish? Life. There's life in Jesus. There's life in Jesus. Life. Not death. Life in Christ. There's life in Christ. How many in this room could right now, I hope that at minimum today, that as you've heard the message, you're just, because it was a kind of, what about the wicked message? Here's the thing. If you're in Jesus, what applies to you is tree planted by the living water in fruit and life. And that's good. That's good. How blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Man, that's the kind of life. That's the kind of life we need. That's what we want as a church. We want to be a church of blessed, vibrant, living people. Do you know why? So we can produce fruit. So we can go out into this world, in this godless community that we live in, and share Jesus and be bright salt and light to a world how does that happen? Well, that happens when you are a healthy believer. Psalm 1 talks about how to do that. And if that's not you today, I mean, you need to get this thing right. If I'm in the category of the wicked, this is a problem. This is a problem. And you would be wise and brave even to come see me, to see Lucas, to see somebody. I do not want to perish. I do not want to perish. I want to be found in Jesus. I want to be found in Jesus. Psalm 1. I trust that this message and this series, You will take it to heart. Don't make this an exercise. It's just so it was so good to be here Sunday morning. Listen, take God's word and hear it and apply it. Apply it for God's glory.